Cinderella. Once upon a time, there was a gentleman who married for the second time. His new wife was a very proud, haughty woman, and her two daughters were exactly like her. Her husband had a daughter of his own, a girl of wonderful goodness and gentleness. She took after her mother, who had been a most lovable person. The wedding was hardly over when the stepmother's bad temper broke out. Her stepdaughter's charm infuriated her because it made her own daughters seem even more unlikable by comparison. She made the girl do the roughest housework. She had to wash the dishes and scrub the stairs and clean the rooms of the mistress of the house and her lady daughters. She slept at the top of the house in an attic, on a thin straw mattress, while her sisters had rooms with polished floors and beds with the latest fashion and mirrors where they could see themselves from head to foot. The poor girl endured it all and dared not complain to her father. He would only have scolded her because he was entirely dominated by his wife. When she had finished her work, she used to sit in the ashes in the chimney corner, and so everyone in the house called her Cinderella. But in spite of her ugly old clothes, Cinderella was 100 times more beautiful than her sisters in their magnificent dresses. One day, the king's son gave a ball and invited everyone of importance. The two sisters were asked, for they cut a figure in society. They were delighted and very busy choosing the dresses and hairstyles that would suit them best. It all meant more work for Cinderella, who had to press their linen and crimp their cuffs. They couldn't talk about anything but what they were going to wear at the ball. "I shall wear my red velvet dress," said the eldest sister. "I must make do with my old underskirt," said the younger one, "but still, I shall wear my gown with the golden flowers and my diamonds, so I shan't do badly." They sent for the hairdresser to arrange their headdresses, and they bought patches from the most fashionable maker. They called Cinderella to ask her opinion, for she had good taste. She gave them excellent advice and even offered to do their hair, which they were very glad to agree to. While she was doing it, they said to her, "Cinderella, would you like to go to the ball?"
"You are teasing me, ladies. It wouldn't be suitable."
"You're quite right. It would make everyone laugh to see Cinderella at the ball." Anyone but Cinderella would have made their hair look hideous, but she was a kind-hearted girl and she did it perfectly. They were so excited that they could hardly eat for 2 days. They broke more than 12 laces in pulling in their corsets to make their waists look smaller, and they were always in front of the mirror. At last, the great day came. They set out, and Cinderella watched them go. When they had disappeared from sight, she began to cry. Her godmother found her in tears and asked what was wrong.
I want,
she was crying so hard she couldn't go on. Her godmother, who was a fairy, said, "You'd like to go to the ball, wouldn't you?"
"Oh dear, I would," said Cinderella with a sigh.
"Well, be a good girl," said her godmother, "and you shall." She took Cinderella into the garden and said, "Bring me a pumpkin." Cinderella picked the best she could find and took it to her godmother, although she couldn't imagine how a pumpkin would help her get to the ball. Her grandmother cut it out inside, leaving just the rind. Then she struck it with her wand, and immediately the pumpkin changed into a splendid golden coach. Then she looked in the mousetrap and found 6 mice all alive. She told Cinderella to lift the gate of the trap, and as each mouse came out, she tapped it with her wand and it turned into a thoroughbred horse. They made a team of 6 fine bays with a touch of mouse. The godmother couldn't think what to do about a coachman. "I'll look in the rat trap," said Cinderella, "and see if there's a rat. We could make him into a coachman." A good idea, said the godmother. Go and see. Cinderella brought her the rat trap, and there were 3 big rats in it. The fairy picked out one for his luxuriant whiskers, and when she tapped him with her wand, he was changed into a stout coachman with a magnificent moustache. Then she said, You'll find 6 lizards behind the watering can. Bring them here. The moment Cinderella brought them to her godmother, she changed them into 6 footmen who sprang up behind the coach in their dazzling liveries and stood there as if they had done nothing else all their lives. Then the fairy said to Cinderella, Well now, you can go to the ball. Aren't you pleased?
Yes. But how can I go like this in my ugly old clothes?
Her godmother just touched her with the wand, and at once her clothes turned into a ball dress covered with jewels. Then the fairy gave her a pair of glass slippers, the prettiest in the world. Dressed in her finery, Cinderella got into the coach, but her godmother warned her on no account to stay later than midnight, for if she remained a moment longer at the ball, her coach would become a pumpkin again, her horses mice, her footmen lizards, and her clothes rags and tatters. She promised that she would certainly leave before midnight and set off, almost beside herself with joy. When she arrived, the servants told the prince that an unknown princess had just appeared, and he hurried to welcome her. He helped her out of the carriage and led her to the ballroom. At once, there was complete silence. The dancers stopped dancing and the musicians stopped playing. Everyone was spellbound by the loveliness of the unknown lady. A murmur ran round the room. How beautiful she is! Even the king, elderly as he was, couldn't stop looking at her, and he said to the queen that it was years since he had seen anyone so beautiful and charming. All the ladies looked carefully at her clothes, making up their minds to have a dress in the same style if they could find such exquisite materials and clever dressmakers. The prince led her to the place of honour and then asked her for the next dance. She danced so gracefully that the company admired her more than ever. A splendid supper was served. But the prince ate nothing. He could only gaze at her. She sat beside her sisters and showed them every attention. She even shared with them the oranges and lemons that the prince had given her, which surprised them greatly, for they didn't recognize her. After supper, the prince went to her again and paid her endless compliments. She was enjoying herself so much that she'd quite forgot what her grandmother had said, until the first stroke of midnight sounded. Then she sprang up and fled as lightly as a deer. The prince followed her, but he couldn't catch up with her. However, she lost one of her glass slippers, and he picked it up very carefully. Cinderella arrived home out of breath, without a coach, without footmen, in her old clothes. Nothing remained of her splendour but one of her little slippers, the twin of the one she had lost. The palace guards were asked if they had seen the princess leave, but they said they'd seen no one except a ragged girl who looked more like a peasant than a great lady. When the two sisters came home, Cinderella asked if they had enjoyed themselves, and they told her about the beautiful lady. She was so polite to us, they said. She gave us oranges and lemons. Then they described how the lady had run away at midnight so fast that she dropped one of her pretty little glass slippers, and how the prince had picked it up and done nothing but look at it for the rest of the ball. They thought he must be madly in love with the beautiful lady it belonged to. They were right, for a few days later the prince had it proclaimed to the sound of a trumpet that he would marry the lady whose the foot the slipper fitted. The princesses tried it on first, then the duchesses, and then all the court ladies, but in vain. At length it was brought to the house of the sisters, and they tried hard to force their feet into it, but without success. Cinderella was watching them, and she recognised her slipper. "Let me try," she said. Her sisters laughed scornfully. But the gentleman who was bought the slipper looked at her closely and saw that she was very beautiful. So he said that she was quite right. His orders were to offer the slipper to every girl. He made Cinderella sit down, and when he held out the slipper, it fitted her little foot exactly. The sisters were amazed, but they were more astonished still when Cinderella took the other little slipper out of her pocket and put it on. Her godmother appeared and tapped her with the wand, and at once she wore an even more magnificent dress than she had when she went to the ball. Then the two sisters recognized her as the beautiful unknown lady. They knelt before her and asked her forgiveness for treating her so badly. Cinderella kissed them and forgave them with all her heart and begged them to always love her. Then she was escorted to the prince in her grand new clothes. He found her lovelier than ever, and a few days later they were married. Cinderella, who was as good as she was beautiful, took her sisters to live at the palace and married them on the same day to two great nobles.